Our message this morning is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 14. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for this day. I thank you for the truth of the gospel. Thank you for Jesus, his death on the cross. Thank you for his resurrection. And God, and I just thank you for saving us and that we're here. God, I just pray that you just speak to each and every one of us, God, and I pray that the Holy Spirit touch our hearts. And God, I pray that I speak with clarity, God, that we hear with clarity, God, the word that you're speaking to us. God, I pray that any distraction, anything that would distract our mind, that would pull our heart in a different direction, any burden that we might have, that would anything that would weigh on our heart, God, God, that you would take it away, God, that you could do business with each and every one of us, God. God, wherever we are, God, whatever situation that you're trying to touch in our lives, God, God, that you, your Holy Spirit would touch us right now, God. I pray right now that we would be able to do business with you and that you would touch each and every one of us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 14. Paul writes, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus, our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If to others, am I not an apostle, at least I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine to me is this: do we not have a right to eat and to drink? Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife? Even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or only do Barnabas and I not have a right to refrain from working? Who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of the fruit of it? Or who tends a flock and does not use the milk of the flock? Am I not speaking these things according to human judgment? Am I? Or does the law also say these things? For it is written in the law of Moses, 'You shall not muzzle the ox while it is threshing.' God is not concerned about the ox, is he? Or is he speaking altogether for our sake? Yes, for our sake it is written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher to flesh in hope, and the sharing of the crops. If we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we reap material things in you? If others share the right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we did not use this right, but we condemn all things so that we will cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple, and those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar? So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel." I've entitled my message, "Our Rights Versus the Gospel." Our rights versus the gospel. It seems a bit like Paul is going off the rails here, and it's kind of like, why is Paul, he's kind of, well, and I just want to connect this real very, Paul's having this kind of prolonged argument here. Starting in chapter 8, going all the way through chapter 11. So chapter 9 here is very much connected back to chapter 8. So if you read chapter 9 in isolation, it seems a bit like Paul is going off the rails and he's just
kind of making this random argument, like, am I not an apostle? And can I not do these things? Can I not have a wife? Can I not do these things? And you're like, Paul, what are you talking about? And he's having this impassioned argument, but he's having this argument for a reason, because he's connecting it back to chapter 8, where, remember, in chapter 8, he's basically telling them, hey, stop going eating in the temple, food that is sacrificed in the temple. He's telling them, don't do this. Okay. If we go back to chapter 8, because what they're doing is, because they think, hey, I have freedom in Christ. I'm a spiritual person. I have the freedom to go into the temple and eat food that is sacrificed. Because remember, they don't have restaurants. They don't have Perkins. They don't have, Burger King and McDonald's, or, whatever your favorite restaurant is. And so, how they would have fellowship with their friends is they would go into the local pagan temple, and they would participate in the ritual, and they would eat food sacrificed to the pagan idols. And Paul is telling him, hey, don't do this, because the problem is your weaker brothers and sisters in Christ are going to they're going to fall away, because when they see you do this, they're going to go in and they're going to participate into this. And they are going to fall away in their faith, and they are going to start partaking in these pagan rituals, and they're going to be drawn in. So don't do this any longer, because they are going to be weak. So you, these rights that you think that you have, you shouldn't exercise in them. So Paul's saying, hey, let me tell you, yes, I have rights too. And so he's going to enumerate all these freedoms that he has and these rights that he has. And now he's going to say, hey, I'm telling you not to do things. Now let me use myself as an example. Let me tell you a story. I was talking with a father this week, a guy that I know, and he was telling me that his father was an avid fisherman, and he said every year on the fishing opener, his father would go out. His father would leave on a Thursday, and they would go up and, they would fish for sunnies, crappies, because he can kind of fish all year for sunnies and crappies. But then they would go out, obviously, Saturday morning, and they would catch other fish, and they would fish the whole weekend. And he said, one year he had a baseball game, and he said, he said, man, I really wanted my dad there. And he said he had went up that Thursday, and he said, but he said, I'd really kind of worn my dad out, and that, hey, dad, I really wanted you here. And he said, and my mom told him it was okay to go there. And the mom says, hey, I'll be there for the game. It's okay if you go. And he says, but something, he said, it struck a chord on my dad. He said he drove all the way back from northern Minnesota in the early hours of this Saturday morning, and he says he showed up to my baseball game. And he says, I said, I don't know what time he woke up. And he says, but it must have been like early in the morning. He says he drove his boat back, and he says he got there in time. And he said it was the worst baseball game I'd ever played. He said I struck out like three times, and he said I didn't play well. He said the ball rolled between my legs, and I dropped balls. And he said I played. He said it was a terrible game. He said, but it was like the best day. He's like, it was the best day ever, because my dad was there. And he said I was like crying. And he says, but like when I cried, like my dad ran there and like held me in his arms, and he took me out for ice cream. And he said that day, like he in the evening, he took me to a Twins game, and he said the Twins lost. He said they got massacred. It was like one of the worst games. He said, but it was like the best day, because my dad like gave up. He said my dad actually fell asleep during the Twins game, because he said he was just so tired. He said, but it was just a great game, because he gave up hit what was important to him to be with me. And he said, when it, he said, what I found out later in life is, he said, when my father died, they said, he had worked for this company for many years. They said, your father became the CEO of the company. but he never, he always left work early. He was like, what do you mean? Like the guy would go in early in the day. He said, oh yeah, he would, your dad would always leave early to come home and have dinner with you guys, where we would stay late and work. He would come, he would always make sure that he was home in time for dinner to be, you know, be home for dinner with you. And so the dad sacrifice, you know, where his colleagues felt like he was sacrificing his career, the dad would come home to have dinner. And you know, he said he didn't, you know, he realized that his dad made certain sacrifices to spend time with him and do things with him. He had a right. He said, hey, he says, my mom, you know, she was a stay-at-home mom. She did all of these things. He said, but yet, all the same, my father, he did things and he made choices to be there and to do certain things. And he said, my father just didn't miss things. And, you know, he said, realizing that, he says, it wasn't until later that I figured out that he made certain sacrifices. And so really, to coming to our first point this morning, is we have rights. Okay? We have rights. And this is what Paul's saying. He says, am I not free? He says, I am not, am I not an apostle? And one of the things the Corinthians is, remember, they actually start to question Paul. Paul, are you really an apostle? And one of the reasons they're questioning, is he an apostle, is they've had these other people, they've showed up in Corinth. And now they're questioning, Paul, are you really an apostle? And the reasoning they're questioning, is Paul an apostle, is because they're showing up and they're saying that they are more spiritual than Paul. They are more spiritual and they have a different teaching than Paul. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, someone comes along and they preach different, or they pray different than someone else, or they do things different than you. And so all of a sudden they are more spiritual. Well, one of the things that they're telling that the Corinthians is, oh, by the way, Paul's not really an apostle because he won't take support from you. Because he won't take your money, that means he's not really an apostle. Now that seems a bit odd to us, right? But one of the things in the Greco-Roman world is they would have a traveling philosopher. So this wasn't, you know, to have traveling evangelists per se or apostles is not necessarily an abnormal thing in the Greco-Roman world. And how they typically would receive money is they would have a someone who was a you know, a kind of a patron of theirs. They would kind of fund their ministry, kind of like what we do with missionaries. You have people who are patrons of them. And you maybe even see this a little bit in Paul's ministry. You have some people who maybe are patrons, okay? You have other people that they would maybe be teachers, and they would, you know, and they would teach them. Others are basically, they kind of beg on it, okay? Or then others, they become, do what Paul does, and they are kind of, or what we would call bivocational or co-vocational. Remember, Paul is a tent maker. So Paul will actually make tents to provide his own income. And so Paul, it tells them, hey, I don't need you to support me. And this actually becomes a problem for the Corinthians. They're saying, hey, Paul, something's not right, Paul. You're not really an apostle. So they start questioning Paul's apostleship. So now Paul has to defend his apostleship to them. But not, and not only in his defending his apostleship, he's also going to defend his right not to take support. But he's using this as an example, saying, hey, sometimes it's best to give up your rights to, you know, for the betterment of everyone, really for the betterment of the gospel. Hence, you know, our rights versus the gospel's rights. And he says, but he says, are you not my work in the Lord? He says, to others, I am not an apostle. But at least to you, but you are the seal of my apostleship. He says, hey, I've could, most of you wouldn't be in Christ You wouldn't be in Jesus. You wouldn't have come to know Jesus if it wasn't for me. Peter didn't come to you. James didn't come to you. None of the other apostles came to you. It was my, under my ministry that you come to know Jesus, that you come to have the Holy Spirit. How can you question my apostleship? Then he goes on, he says, my defense to those is this. Then he goes on and he says, do we not have a right to eat or drink? So he's going on saying, I have rights. I have the rights to do all these things, Corinthians. He says, I do have the right to take support from you. I have a right to take food. Okay. He says, verse 5, do I not have a right to take a believing wife? Okay. Even as the rest of the apostles is the Lord and Cephas, the brother of the Lord. Paul, we know that Paul doesn't get, he was never married. Okay. We don't know why. We think the reason Paul doesn't get married is Paul is so passionate, and he's kind of just so committed to the gospel that he just doesn't marry. Okay. Now, the brother of the Lord, the brothers of the Lord, we think he's talking about James here. We know that James is married. Cephas is Peter, and really Cephas is the Aramaic. This is what they call Peter in Aramaic is Cephas. We know that Peter is married. We think it's interesting that we don't necessarily think that Peter actually takes his wife along with him, but it seems that at least in Corinth that Peter brought his wife along on his missionary journeys. Now, this seems actually pretty normal. We don't think, I mean, it would be pretty weird to go around on all these missionary journeys and to leave your wife in Jerusalem for years while you're going off gallivanting and preaching the gospel and just leaving your wife behind, right? So we think that Peter had brought his wife to Corinthian to the Corinth. And he's saying, hey, yes, we know that James has a wife. We know that Peter has a wife. I have a right to take a wife like them. He said, or is it that Barnabas, so apparently, at least at this point, Barnabas doesn't have a wife. He says, or do not Barnabas, or do not Barnabas, verse 6, he says, or only do Barnabas and I do not have a right to refrain from working. So Barnabas and Paul, they work. They're going to make tents, okay? And so they have these rights. Goes on, verse 6, he says, or anyone who serves as a soldier. Now, we no soldier serves and doesn't get paid for it, okay? Well, they've had countries where they have soldiers and they don't get paid. They typically start deserting then. It's a problem. No soldier wants to serve and doesn't get paid. They desert. Or a plants a vineyard and does not eat their own fruit. Okay. One of the advantages of being a farmer is you have your own produce, you benefit from it. Okay. Cattle ranchers, they eat their own beef. They just don't raise their own beef and not benefit from it. Okay. Farmers do not, vegetable farmers don't just raise their own vegetables and not benefit from it in some shape or form. They eat it. The shepherd out in the field, they're not just going to sit there and not enjoy some of the milk. They're not sitting out in the field parched, thirsty. They're not going to be like, well, you know what? I'm thirsty out here. I have nothing to drink. They're not going to go. They're going to go get some of the milk from the flock. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is their right to do so. Paul, and he's using these because they understand this. They live in an agrarian society. They would understand all of these references. He's saying, I have the right to do all of these things. We have certain rights as individuals, and it's okay to use these rights. There's nothing wrong with them, okay? We have freedoms. We have authorities. We have rights, okay? verse 8, he says, I'm speaking of these things in a human to human judgment. Or does not the law say these things, for it is written? He even goes back to the Old Testament. Okay. He quotes scripture basically. He says, for it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. Okay. He quotes Deuteronomy 25 and 4. Says, now God is not concerned about the ox. Is he? Now, it sounds like he's misinterpreting the verse. He really isn't. He's contextualizing it for modern time. Or is he speaking yet for our sake? Yes, for our sake, for he is written. Because the plowman ought to in hope, and the thresher in hope, sharing in the crops. Well, here, they don't muzzle out the ox. Why? Because they don't, you know, the ox should be able to enjoy a little bit while they're eating, right? In the same way, Paul's saying, hey, if I'm going to do ministry, I should be able to benefit from it. This is really his point. So we all have rights. We all have, and if we think, and you know, as Christians, we all have certain rights. We have rights to do certain things. Our second point is, if we can enjoy some of those rights, going down to verse 14. So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. Okay? Sometimes we get nervous with this verse as pastors. We're like, oh my gosh, because of really verse 12, we get really concerned. But yeah, we can enjoy these rights, okay? There's nothing wrong with enjoying our rights as individuals, okay? But we want to make sure that we're enjoying these rights in the proper and right context, okay? That we're doing it in a healthy manner, okay? And what I mean we're doing it in a healthy manner is that what we want to make sure is what we're going to find out here shortly is that Paul's actually going to give up his rights, okay? And there's going to be a reason that he gives up his rights. And we're like, why does Paul give up his rights? Because what when Paul actually gives up his rights is what actually causes all the problems, some of the problems here in Corinth, is he gives up these rights and it causes problems for the Corinth. They don't understand it. And it causes them to actually have problems with Paul. But we want to enjoy, it's okay to enjoy our rights, okay? There's sometimes people, they get a little, well, they shouldn't enjoy our rights, you know, or you get some people who really get upset, well, ministers shouldn't get paid, or you should enjoy yourself in Christ, you know. I don't know, sometimes you get these people who think Christians should just be, you know, they should be like these really very prude, uptight Victorian people who never smile. You know, these old pictures where people just never smiled and they were unhappy and they looked like they had a stick up their butt and they were just unhappy people. No, that's not how you should live. I think Jesus, you know, I think if we were to go back and we looked at Jesus and his disciples, I think we'd find that Jesus and his disciples laughed and they told jokes and they enjoyed themselves and lives. And, you know, it's okay, you know, to enjoy the things in life and enjoy these freedoms and these rights when we have them, but in the proper context. Verse 12, kind of brings us to our last point. And this is really, I think, where what Paul is really honing in on here. Paul says, if others share the right over you, and we do we not more? Nevertheless, we did not use this right, but we endure all things so that we cause no hindrance to the sake of the gospel. Paul's saying, hey, we have all these rights just like everyone else, but we gave them up so we wouldn't hinder the gospel. So sometimes it's best to give up your rights if they hinder the gospel. We have a hard time with that as Americans. We do not want to give up our rights. We do not want to give up the things that we, well, our rights as Americans, our rights as Christians. There are our rights, there are freedoms. We don't want to give them up. But what Paul is saying is, hey, I gave up my rights to food. I gave up my rights to be married. I gave up my rights to take money from you. I gave up my rights to all of these things. To do all this stuff that you've offered. I had all these rights to do this as an apostle to one called to preach and minister. Okay. I had all these rights to do this. I gave it up because I didn't want to hinder the gospel. But not only that, he says, but it is called, he says, nevertheless, now we endure things. He said, but we endure all things. It's caused them problems. Now they're questioning Paul's apostleship. They're saying, Paul, are you really an apostle? Because now because you won't accept food from us, because you won't accept monetary gifts, you won't accept our patronage. Are you really truly an apostle? And Paul's saying that, no, you're misunderstanding me. I don't want to hinder the gospel. I'm so passionate about Jesus. I love Jesus so much. I love you guys so much. I love the Corinthian people around you. I want to see them know Jesus. I don't want to take that money away. I would rather see that money go to the furthering of the gospel. I would rather see that money go to see your neighbors, your loved ones who don't know Jesus. I would rather see that money and those resources go for them to know them, for other people to know Jesus, than for that to go to me. Now, what I like what he says. He goes on in verse 14. Now he's saying, hey, it's not wrong if people take. He says, so the Lord directed to those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. He wants them to know, hey, there's nothing wrong with someone receiving their living from the gospel. But he's saying right now, you know, I want you to know, I've asked you to refrain from going into the temples, okay? Because I'm asking you to give up your rights. Because it is hindering the faith of other people. And I want you to see by my own example that I am giving up my rights, my monetary rights, my rights to your patronage, my rights to I will work on my own to provide my own. I'm giving up that right to see other people come to faith. Because I don't want to hinder the gospel. He says, so what he's really asking Corinthians, are you willing to give up your rights not to hinder the gospel? Are you willing to give up your rights to go into these pagan temples so you won't hinder the faith of those people around you? And now it's hard, how do we look at that today? What rights do we have? What are we doing? How are those, what rights do we have today that are maybe being a hindrance to those people around us? And it's going to be different to different people. Maybe there's things that we're doing in our lives that could be a hindrance or a stumbling block to one person that isn't a stumbling block to another. There's just certain activities that will be a stumbling block to one person that are not a stumbling block to another. Certain forms of music, certain types of entertainment, certain things that you watch on TV will be a stumbling block to one person that will not be a stumbling block to another person. Are you willing to give them up when you're around those people so you're not a stumbling block? If you know that someone wrestles with alcohol, don't take them to Applebee's. If that's going to be a hindrance from them. Maybe Applebee's is your favorite place. But if you know that's going to be a hindrance for them, that's, we know it's not a hindrance for you to go to Applebee's. But if it's a hindrance for them, maybe it's, maybe there's another place that you can go. And so it's these sort of things. So here's our big idea this morning. Don't let your freedom in Christ hinder the preaching of the gospel. And it's not even just really the preaching. It's just don't let your freedom in Christ hinder the gospel itself. So are your rights more important to you than Jesus? Are your rights more important to you than Jesus? I think sometimes our rights become more important to us than Jesus. We're more, we become so focused on our rights and what, I think my rights are as an American or my rights are as a Christian. And they become more, we become more focused in on our rights, okay? Than what, than they, than Jesus. Can we just be the, our rights? We will become more sometimes. We can become more focused on our rights than we do Jesus. Okay. And I think if we were more focused in on Jesus, our rights would take a second, would become secondary. Because Jesus needs the proper place in our life. Because when Jesus has the proper place, everything else starts coming into line. All of our priorities. It helps us to reevaluate everything, to see things in its proper place. Do you need to reevaluate your priorities? Well, when Jesus is at the center, it helps us to reevaluate those priorities. So don't let your freedom in Christ hinder the gospel. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I just thank you. God, don't let our rights become more important than the gospel, more important than Jesus. God, I pray that we would love you more, find you more important than our rights, our freedom, or anything else, God. God, even as we come into Independence Day and we celebrate for God, we love our freedoms as American and we appreciate our freedoms as American. But God, I pray that we don't want our freedoms to be a hindrance to our faith, to our neighbor's faith, or to someone who hasn't even come in to know Jesus yet. So God, let us live out our faith. In a loving way, in a way that draws people to the gospel. Lord, help us to just set our priorities correctly. God, help us to love you, to have right priorities. And I just ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.